Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, the Israelite people have just left Egypt after being slaves under various pharaohs for almost 430 years.
And it was told the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled to the Red Sea, and the heart of Pharaoh was wroth with anger.
General!
I've called you here to give me your advice on a very important matter.
Yes, Your Majesty.
It concerns the flight of the Israelites. As you advised, I should have denied them permission to leave our country.
Indeed, the tragic deaths of your own son, Your Majesty, and of the firstborn children of Egypt were an unfortunate coincidence. I am still certain there was a plague of perfectly explicable origin.
Nevertheless, the Israelites took advantage of our plight by claiming it to be the wrath of their God.
I propose we take the necessary military action at once and force them to return.
Yes, a good idea, General.
I'll order every man and horse and chariot in Egypt to pursue them.
People of Israel, you can even now hear the approaching armies of Pharaoh. But fear not, my people. Stand still and see the salvation which the Lord will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and protect you.
As Pharaoh brought his huge army even closer to the frightened Israelites, Moses turned again unto the Lord.
My Lord, why hast thou brought us here to the sea? We cannot escape the approaching Egyptians.
Moses, wherefore dost thou cry unto God? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
Why, Sharon, whatever are you crying about?
The cloud! The pillar of cloud!
Pillar of cloud? What about it?
It's leaving!
Pillar of cloud is a... It's settling down between us and the Egyptian army.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
The Lord is protecting us from the Egyptians. The pillar, it's a light to us, but darkness to the Egyptians.
Papa, why is Moses raising his hand over the Red Sea?
I'm sure I don't know.
A storm is rising. Listen to the wind.
That's no ordinary wind.
The water of the Red Sea. It's piling up, leaving a path of dry ground.
Did Moses bring that wind with his hand and rod, Papa?
The Lord is doing it, Sharon. So we can cross the sea and get away from the Egyptian army.
The Lord has heard our prayers. He has saved us.
Thus God made a way through the sea itself, and the children of Israel went forward into the midst of the sea upon dry ground between two walls of water.
As God led the Israelites to the edge of the Red Sea, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. As a result, Pharaoh changed his mind about letting the Israelites go, and he set out with his army in hot pursuit of the slaves that he'd lost. When the Israelites saw the Egyptians bearing down on them, they thought at first that they had been led into a trap, but in reality, God had set a trap for Pharaoh and his army. Despite the many blessings God had given to the Israelites, even while they were living in Egypt, and even before this, the people were now very afraid that they would be slaughtered by the Egyptian army. Their faith in God was very weak, and they criticized Moses heavily for betraying them. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses told the people not to be afraid, but to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord, which he would provide for them that very day. Moses promised the people that they would never see the Egyptians ever again, and he told them God would fight for them. This is a powerful message for any believer engaged in any type of struggle or conflict. Most of us react in one of two ways. Either we complain and we give up, like the Israelites did, or we take things into our own hands and we fight in our own strength. Both choices are equally wrong, We need to simply stand firm and have faith in God that He will defend and deal with the situation at hand. Action will sometimes be necessary on our part, but we must take action only under God's direction and as led by the Holy Spirit when to do so. The Israelites were preoccupied with the advancing army on one side and the seawater on the other. But they should have looked toward God, because He controls all circumstances and was in the process of delivering them from the Egyptians. The pillar of cloud moved to a position between the people and the army and so prevented an attack. Then, as He'd done before, the Lord used the natural means of a strong east wind to produce a supernatural effect. The wind drove back the waters of the sea so that a channel was created through the Red Sea with the water piling up on either side. All the Israelites moved along the pathway on the seabed on dry ground. There can be no simple naturalistic explanation for what happened. It was a tremendous miracle of God. There has been much disbelief that Moses actually held out his rod over the water of the Red Sea, or that the water backed up like a huge wall on each side of the channel to allow them to cross. Should we believe or not believe everything recorded in the Bible as being true and correct? Once we decide we won't accept this section or that page of Scripture, it isn't long before we have nothing consistent in our faith left. For as 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Do any of the other Scripture writers mention the crossing of the Red Sea? Yes, they do. In Nehemiah chapter 9, after the walls of Jerusalem had been repaired, the people consecrated themselves to the Lord, confessed their sins, and they showed their humility by repentance and fasting. A public prayer followed, and the speaker, one of the Levites, described how God had been faithful to His covenant with the Israelites throughout their history, in spite of their own repeated unfaithfulness to Him. The quote says, "And You, Lord, divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land." In Joshua chapter 2, Rahab, a woman of ill repute living in Jericho, acknowledged to two Israelite spies that the people of Jericho had heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross when they came out of Egypt. This convinced her of the supremacy and truth of Israel's God, and Rahab put her faith in the Lord God. In later generations, in Judges chapter 11 and in Psalm 106 and 136, there are references to the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. In Hebrews chapter 11, known as the Faith chapter, it's also recorded that by faith Moses led the people through the Red Sea as by dry land. In Acts chapter 7, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was put on trial, in his long summary of Israelite history, he mentioned Moses and the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. No one among the Jews or surrounding lands doubted that the crossing actually did happen. Why? Why would God do such a spectacular thing? Was there no other way to deal with the Israelites? God said, "I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." Those that refuse to be changed by God's love will come to a point when they'll be amazed by His power. This often happens on the international stage. Civilizations rise and fall, nations grow strong and then they go into decline, just as God determines they'll do. God wanted to show His power over Pharaoh's army to assure the Israelites of His unfailing love toward them, which included complete deliverance for them from their past. The people had seen God's judgments against Egypt in terrible and deadly plagues, but now as they stood on the shore of the Red Sea with no means of escape, they needed to trust God and Moses like they had never done before. Once across, there was no turning back. Do you think that just like the Israelites standing waiting on the seashore for their turn to cross, that your faith in God might be very weak? Have you made that decisive step of faith to embrace God's provision for you, believing in Christ for salvation and a new heart of faith, obedience and humility as the result? No matter how badly you might think of your weak faith, a commitment to accepting Jesus and embracing His power and supernatural Holy Spirit in your life will remind you of how great your Savior is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him, we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. Whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. The Christian life is a divine-human partnership. God doesn't dominate us, but he guides us as we seek his help and glory. He relates to us in a way that's cleansing, empowering, and supportive, yet at the same time, he doesn't destroy our initiative or our creativity in serving him. God's guidance is always available to be found, but not so obvious that he does away with the necessity of thought and discriminating insight. Do you face situations where greater strength and confidence are needed than you feel you're capable of? In Jesus Christ, you have a partner who knows precisely how you feel and will, if you ask him, stamp his quiet courage and determination deep within your soul. Why struggle as though you're on your own when you have a partner who knows all things? The ultimate test of a partnership is the giving of oneself to it. Jesus Christ is that kind of partner. He empowers his people with spiritual gifts and abilities, wisdom and common sense. This means that the responsibilities of the day are no longer just mine, but they're ours. We can sharpen our awareness of God's presence in our lives by cultivating a heart of praise. When we come to pray, we both thank God for what he does and we praise him for who he is. There's always a reason to be thankful because we've been redeemed through the innocent suffering of Christ our Lord. And there's always a reason to give praise because God never changes. We can choose to praise God even if we don't feel like it at that moment. Whenever you feel sad or depressed, acknowledge your feelings and then decide by an act of your will to focus your thoughts on the goodness of God. This will save you from prolonged periods of gloom and doubt. There are many good reasons to praise God, and by doing so, we increase our awareness of his presence in our lives. It's easy to pick up bad habits, but it only takes 30 days to establish a good habit. The habit of praise can be practiced whenever we have a spare few moments while we're waiting for something else to happen. A further step we must take to have our awareness of God's presence in our lives is to break decisively with all known sin. Nothing blunts the awareness of God's presence in our lives as much as continuing to think or act in ways that God cannot approve. If we harbor moral wrong in our lives, we treat God as if he's just part of our imagination. Here are some questions we can ask ourselves to test our relationship with God. Have I been truthful and honest? Have I been impure? Have I allowed bitterness to take root in my heart? Has love been my motive in everything? Have I sought God's glory or my own? As we confess and forsake our wrongdoing, God's Holy Spirit will increase his presence in our lives. Psalm chapter 19, verse 12 says, "Who can discern his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." Let us pray for cleansing from the following areas of human weakness and sinful habits: from those sins which I have committed and I have forgotten, from those sins from which I have not repented, from those sins which I have committed in my heart, from those sins which I have committed without knowing that they were sins, sins of ignorance, and from those sins which I have committed in private, for which I would blush if they were to be made public. Help us to live pure lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.